Saturday, March 6th, dawned pretty and bright. I worked at my desk, then called Libby Rowe to ask her to drive around with me to survey the beautification sites that would be the subject of our committee's meeting on Tuesday. We got out in front of the new building of History and Technology, one of the handsomest buildings I've ever seen. I made a mental note to check the architect, because always in the back of my mind these days I have the Lyndon Baines Johnson Library. The planting, large trees, oaks, magnolia, not much grass, ground cover of ivy and periwinkle. The long expanse of the terrace with the white marble building as a background will make a marvelous foil for the outdoor eating place the Smithsonian plans for this summer. Umbrellas, tables, chairs. What a haven for all the busloads of children that have driven in to see the Smithsonian, and for the mamas who are taking their Saturday tour with a station wagon full of youngsters. We walked from the Smithsonian down past the area where the pansies will be planted, and on down to the Capitol, with Elizabeth telling me something of the history of the mall, the Topkapi Vair theory that the long, impressive green ribbon should remain uncluttered from the Lincoln Memorial to the Capitol. Proposed statuary garden right in front of archives, with its big, handsome trees. I hope no underground parking menaces them. Here there might be outdoor restaurants, fountains, masses of blooming shrubs, maybe some flower beds, and of course benches for those who want to rest and admire the most beautiful 2 miles of real estate in the United States. On down to the Capitol, we decided to climb up on the steps, where the Senate leaders are making noises about setting out their own tables and umbrellas and having tea with constituents this summer. How I hope they do it. It would be the most superb view in Washington, both the view of them from the street below and the view they will get of the long expanse of the mall, the flag-circled Washington Monument, and the Lincoln Memorial. We drove past Greenleaf Gardens also, about a good 2 hours, drenching myself with information about plans that have been made, changed, discarded for the city of Washington. I returned just in time to have lunch with Robin Duke, Elspeth Rostow, and Linda Bird. Robin had talked so much about Mrs. Rostow. We thought it would be fun to have a quiet visit, just the four of us. She and Robin are both, to me, best products of a very different world. Johnson City and Karnak did not prepare me to feel at home with them, but I like them both so much. Mrs. Rostow, sleek, beautiful, so keen of mind, teaches a course to Foreign Service students and businessmen and women who are likely to go abroad. As well as I can gather, it's sort of an intermingling of the economy and the history of our country and its place in the world today. Linda's fond hope, a little flight into independence, had been to go to Europe this summer, spend about 6 weeks. I was all in favor of it. It was to be her 21st birthday present. And then along comes her daddy's policy about foreign travel and the draining of the dollar away from this country. How can the daughter of the president then embark on a gay trip to Europe in the face of that? So we quietly table it, accept defeat, but determined to do it later. Luncheon today was sort of a preliminary course in the possibilities of such a trip. Paul Dresser is in town, en route to his 3-year service duty in Germany, and Linda is doing her USO bit, having him as a house guest and showing him the town. Late in the afternoon, he and Linda and I went over to the bowling alley, and for the first time I broke 100, making the great total of 103, and coming in last of the three of us. And then to the pool, where I did 30 lengths of the pool alone. Oh, lovely, unused opportunity, this delightful pool that only I enjoy. Lucy is finally feeling well again. She's back at work at Dr. Kraskin's on Saturdays. She says people are so surprised because she knows the work. She's just bubbling. It's hard to put a stop to the spate of words when Lucy gets to talking. Tonight she had the Betzes to dinner. Pop, as she calls him, Dr. Betz. Paul, his 2 brothers, the fiancé of one of them, his sister, and the young man that she goes with. I talked to them in the yellow room while Lucy fried chicken in the upstairs kitchen. They are close family, obviously very fond of each other, and full of anecdotes about this or that sister or brother. Lucy took them down for dinner in the downstairs family dining room, and Lyndon and I had dinner on a tray about 9:15. And then I had my favorite Saturday night diversion, Gunsmoke.